Hello, Screeters. I'm impressed. I'm getting another episode out. One a week might be a nice little feel, but I'm planning on bombarding you all with episodes next week at GaryCon. We'll talk about that a little bit. I got some call-ins from the ubiquitous Jason Connerly and Evil Jeff. So hopefully y'all enjoy what they have to say and my answers as far as it goes. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Warhammer 4th Edition, my experience, as well as Traveler, Boot Hill, We Deal in Lead, and what I'm going to do at the con. I don't have any philosophical questions for you today. I just think that maybe we're getting into spring. I think today might be the official first day of spring. So let me be the first to welcome you to spring of 2023. But I don't know. What I do know is today is Monday, March 20th, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey Jason, the other Jason here. Listen to your episode. Gonna send you a series of messages this time. So yeah, you don't have to listen to me drone on as long. Traveler. Yeah, I know what you mean about Traveler. I mean, I had as a kid and, you know, did a lot of character creation stuff. But as an adult playing with it, you always wonder because you're in the career. And you're like, well, what table I'm going to roll on? And it almost seems like it doesn't matter because it does matter because there are different skills in each table. But you don't get to pick the skill. So, like, well, I'm trying to get to be a better, you know, shooting guns, but you always roll vac suit. Or you always roll, whatever the one is, courtesy clerk. Or it's not courtesy clerk, but there's one that's, you know, like a concierge or whatever. So, I know what you mean about Traveler. The character creation system seems like it needs something. Honestly, I like the Arcthalsorian life path system better. And I say that, I've only played Cyberpunk 2020 and Cyberpunk Red. I've got The Witcher, but I haven't looked at it, honestly. I guess I should. But anyway, and that's also a life path system, but you don't get to choose. You just roll randomly, and it tells you what the life event is, and you'll get bonuses and stuff like you do in Traveler. But it doesn't take you to, you know, so it's not like, well, which of these four tables do I want to roll on? Each have 10 choices that I have no option which of those 10 choices I get. You don't get that. You're just rolling. So Traveler also gives you that it feels like you've lived a life feeling, but you don't have that decision-making process in there. And Cyberpunk also gives it to you, but you don't have the decision-making process, which I think I like a little bit better. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'd love to hear other people weigh in on that.
And there you have the other Jason, the infamous Jason Connerly from Nerds RPG, the Variety Cast, and every other podcast on the Anchor Sphere. The guys' call-ins know no bounds. And of course, we'll hear from them again. But thanks for calling in about Traveler. I finally finished up my characters, Bossk and Murin. They don't really seem that similar in my brain, but their life path was fairly similar. Looking back at it after having to do a few things to finish up, and you know, maybe it'll be great. We'll see after I get back from GaryCon. First official session is supposed to be the Wednesday after the return from GaryCon, which I don't know what that's going to be. 27th or something, maybe. We'll see, and I will post it all back here for you guys to hear about that new Traveler experience. Thanks again for calling about this, Jason. Latos.
As far as Boot Hill goes, as I send you this message, the following week I'm going to run another online convention with it. I'm going to use those new rules, so we're going to see how they work. And then I'll be going to DaveCon. I'm going to leave you another message about conventions. But at DaveCon, I'm running right now I'm scheduled to run two games of Boot Hill. And I'll use the alternate rooms in that. And that's going to be fun. I've got a play mat. And I'm not going to take minis in my travel kit, but I've got pogs, tokens, kind of like what Rayotis is talking about. And yeah, it ought to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, and I'll have a little town set up. And so anyway, but yeah, I enjoyed Boot Hill. And oh, I want to call you again because you're talking about cowboy campaigns. So as far as campaigns go with Boot Hill, I'm with you. I don't think they ought to be fights. I think you could definitely, to me, the ideal Old West campaign, provided we're not mixing in a bunch of supernatural stuff or crazy stuff, if we're playing a quote unquote real normal universe scenario, right? Like we're doing Old West movies and TV shows. Your gunfights are far and few between. And I think that's very doable. I think, you know, gunfights should be scary and fun, but they should be far and few between. Now, brawls might happen more often, and that's where getting the brawling rules down is going to help. But, you know, good old fist fights can happen more often. But I think gunfights would be far and few between. And I think with the right group, that wouldn't be a problem. I think you'd be able to role play through. And what it requires is to be willing to do faction play and investigation, things like that. And I think Old West games are really suited to that kind of thing.
As promised,
Montague Road for 8 miles.
My GPS is talking. No, as promised, Jason Connerly weighs in on Boot Hill again. Are Old West games truly suited to all those different types? The Old West genre? What? Do we really not want to have a lot of gunfights? Because, I mean, if I'm being honest, I kind of probably want to get in quite a few gunfights. But I totally understand that in most existing Western games, that probably would not happen successfully very often. But I did finally get to play We Deal in Lead, and I think that'll be the main topic of the episode. So tune in, faithful screeders. Let's hear about that soon. Either way, interesting convo about Boot Hill.
As far as conventions go, maybe I hitched my horse the wrong horse, or hitched my wagon to the wrong horse this year. I don't know. You know, I'm going to DaveCon, and then my schedule's keeping me from going to anything else. But next year, I'm either going to go GaryCon or North Texas. Probably North Texas. I don't know. Maybe GaryCon, but one of the two. I love the idea of getting a room together and then just running games as they come up. I know for me personally, I submit my games that I'm going to run the very first day I can, as soon as I can, really early on. I know other people wait till the last minute to submit games, and other people don't submit games at all. They just plan on running pickup games throughout the con. And I think having that room locked in might take away some of that anxiety of scheduling games and figuring all that out. So that's a really interesting idea.
I have to admit, Brother Connerly, I still haven't figured it out. Today is Monday, and I leave for GaryCon in 2 days, and I haven't really prepped anything at all. I've been trying to get my dang printer working. I haven't figured it out yet. It's hard to have a bunch of pre-gens for like a BX game, but I can tell you, of course, I could run Legendary Kalmata. I haven't really cracked into that, hardly at all, really, since Game Hole, maybe? November last year. So there are a few things going on. I could always create something and then toss it in. But I really was kind of thinking about maybe introducing White Sands to the con scene. Or another one of my locations, Battleby Ridge. I could do that in the Mizzlemore and just have a couple things and let it go from there like usual, and then just kind of make it up as it goes. And I almost always have Low Fantasy Gaming set up to run at some point. But for whatever reason, I just haven't been able to make that happen. Someone motivate me. Send me some motivation. It must be done.
Okay, last message this time, maybe. BX and identifying spells, or OSE for, you know, people play OSE. Honestly, I've never run BX or OSE, surprisingly enough. When I was a kid, it was all Beckme and AD&D. I missed BX, and I got it as an adult, but, and I played in plenty of BX and OSE, but I've never run it actually myself. I want to say we've almost always just had Detect Magic do the job. I don't remember doing contortions trying to figure out what items are in those games. I remember the DM just telling us, yeah, write this down on your sheet. This is what it is, just to keep the game moving along. So I think it may vary table to table, but I think most people probably honestly defer to just telling people what it is to get the game going. And I'm okay with that.
Hobbs, it's Evil Jeff. Just listen to your latest podcast that you put out back on the 15th of March, the Forking Spoons. And as you got into your little screed about how to identify magic items, what do you do and everything for a BX game. And I would say this is the portion of the game that the DM gets to make up their own rules. There is nothing in BX that talks about that. If you go into Beckme, you'll get some of that later on. But this is where you get to, as a DM, make something up. What is it that feels good to you? Maybe you create your own identify spell. Then maybe that's a part of a sage's thing that they can do. It might take a while. Let's say you do... you create a skill that's strictly for that, magical engineering or something like that, and they have to spend time with it, understanding it before they can possibly use it. So, I mean, don't be handcuffed by lack of rules. Be imaginative and do what feels good to you and your players that everybody enjoys. Later.
Evil Jeff, thanks for calling in. It's been a while, sir. I appreciate it. Let me give you one of my rules. Never be handcuffed unless you really want to. And there we have it, folks. Wrapping up. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the end of the episode. I should tell you that I do it a few different ways depending on the game. A lot of my games being, you know, open table, West Marches games. I don't really keep track of individual things. That's all for the characters. So I just give them the information of what the item does. Usually, there has been some time that I have not done that. And Nick from the Land of Tall Trees, the player of Phelan, and another character, I don't know what it was, found a coral horn of some sort that seemed to be able to cast magic.
Quarter mile, turn left onto North Tower Road.
And I did basically make a magic using character, you know, fiddle with it for a while, and then I just gave them the information.
Take the next left onto North Tower Road.
In my other traditional OSE games, I'm pretty sure I just let Detect Magic tell what most things are. Just because
on North Tower Road for 4 miles.
I don't know. To me, to make is that what we want our collaborative story to be about, I guess. And maybe it is. And if it is, then I think you could definitely create, oh, the trip to the sage or whatever it is as a GM and your table, just like Evil Jeff says, thinks is the way to go. A lot of times when I make these episodes, I'm probably not necessarily happy with what the GM decided for this type of rules, be it me or be another GM that I play with or maybe someone that I read on Twitter or online or whatever. But the actual system that Elliot uses in our Valley of the Manticore was more like a 2d6 roll. That's how many hundreds of GP you need, and that's how many days it's going to take for you to get a roll, a percentile roll, with each day increasing the chances of the percentile working to discern the magical capabilities of said item. I think it would have been way less expensive to make an identify spell. Way less. Anyhow, remember people, no handcuffs unless you really want them.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat-nav man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
One of my wants slash needs slash self-requirements for 2023 was to run slash play in a game of We Deal in Lead. This is a game based on the Dark Tower series by, based on slash inspired by the Dark series by Stephen King. You know, the gunslingers roll into those guys. Your characters play gunslingers. You're usually part of an order of some sort. And you're off on quests. You each likely have your own quest. Plus, there's probably an order quest. The order can be broken. You know, your firearms are items of antiquity and very special. The gunslingers are kind of like Jedi in a way in their own settings. And I've always been a pretty big fan of the Gunslinger slash Dark Tower books. And I never saw the recent movie. I just like that imagery and the idea. I want to be a cowboy. And I think that as a gunslinger, it's automatically shifting the paradigm of the implied setting to make you want to be a hero, most likely. But you may have to question your heroic deeds or actions because of whatever quest you're on.
Turn right to stay on North Tower Road.
And I think a lot of tables could maybe lessen that. But for me, I just wouldn't want it to be D&D with guns. I would really kind of try and feel or want this other feeling.
Take the setting next right to stay on North Tower Road, then turn right onto East Mill Road.
Is a sort of multiverse with the Drifted Lands being at the center and everything is governed and decided
by the next right onto East Mill Road.
A kind of dark tower. That part of the book series is
continue
kind of
on East Mill Road for half a mile.
Dim for my memory. So I don't really necessarily know if that's going to be the end-all be-all, but there's a few different things that I think are cool about it. This particular game is based on Cairn, so it uses that sort of new SR, NSR type of system where you don't roll damage. You still, you know, make a character 3d6 down the line. You can swap them, but there's only four stats, I think. A gunslinger doesn't use dexterity to try and see how accurate their shot is. They actually use their heart. And firing your guns is actually a roll to hit, which is unusual in Into the Odd and Cairn hacks. Usually you just do damage. So that's something a little different. I ran the game for couple guys in my Thursday group, Jonathan Davis and Brian Tackle. And we made characters, played the game, ran through a little scenario, got into three different confrontations, and the characters survived. So for me, reaching back towards what Jason was saying, the other Jason that is, and the idea of gunfights, I kind of feel like I like to have gunfights. I like to have them be quite a bit, but it depends on the type of game. This obviously is not a standard Western game. This is a weirder West than usual because you're not even necessarily playing on Earth, and you could be playing anywhere with the gate-like portals that are used in the Drifted Lands setting. So, yeah, guys, I mean, there's a quick rundown on We Deal in Lead. It's by Odin's Beard, the same guy who did Runecairn. I only have PDF. There's like 25 versions of the PDF, like a lot of those games. I think eventually I'll buy a hardcover. I still haven't gotten Frontier Scum. I definitely want to check that out, but I'm looking to run more We Deal in Lead. If anyone wants to, let me know. It's something that you can make characters and get into the action within, you know, have 3 hours and you can still do a lot of gaming. We fumbled over some of the rules a little bit, but I really did not miss a attack roll, or I've heard some people don't like that, but to me, it was like, whatevs. Tonight is Warhammer 4th edition. I think it's our third or fourth session. Last session, one of the characters became imprisoned from a brawl that was started in the town market. Two of us escaped, one of us didn't. Our brawler, our dwarven brawler, thought, you know, this is just a regular thing. I've been in so many of these, it'll just be a hand slap and we'll be out. I still don't know how I feel about this game. It's kind of whiffy, which I feel like a lot of D100 games are. But there's a lot of advancing and stuff that's happening while we're playing. I think we only have a few sessions left. I'd like to give a much longer and broader. It hasn't really felt like Warhammer to me. And I don't know if that's because I haven't dove into the lore or if the lore isn't front and center enough. There's this whole Altdorf versus something else, so like some sort of rebellion going on, and I'm not sure how that's plausible because I don't know even how the places are ruled. We're just doing the starter set, so let's see how it goes. I will give you a rundown, and then I expect to do lots and lots of interviews and updates about how GaryCon's going. I'm not going to be there with my usual tribe, but I'm hoping to make some new members. That's what I'm most excited about this GaryCon is. It's not my regular people that I hang out with. There's obviously quite a few people there that I will know. But I'm hoping to spend a lot more time like I did at Gamehole last year with different people. So I'm uber pumped about that. And if anybody has any advice on any of that, let me know. Otherwise, I gotta say, stay alive. You got a job to do. I'm looking forward to gaming with you. Take it away, TJ.